Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote businesses and events in the Monte Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communications among the residents and guests of the Monte Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monte Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montevistachamber.org. That's montevistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monte Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast.
Coming up on this podcast are three special interviews. The first is with the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Assistant Chamber Manager, Jennifer Ruse. Then we have the October 2020 Chamber of Commerce Business of the Month, Alamosa Home, featuring owner Mary D'Amato and store manager Kelly Geddes. And wrapping up this podcast is the October featured organization, the Monte Vista School District, featuring Superintendent Scott Wiedemann.
I'm Adam, and this is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce Business Spotlight for October 2020. Part of each month's podcast is to introduce our listeners to our local Chamber of Commerce and the good folks behind the scenes keeping it all happening. This month, we're talking with Jennifer Ruse. Jennifer is the new Assistant Chamber Manager. Jennifer, welcome to SL Voices.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you joining us. And first, let's get your story. Where are you originally from?
I am originally from Monte Vista. I've been here since I was 2 years old. Was born in Montebello, California, and moved out here with my family, and I've been here ever since.
So you're basically a native.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, your past, your history, things you've done.
Like I said, I've been here pretty much all my life. I got three boys. I got a 21-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 19-year-old. All boys. And my 19-year-old is going to give me my first daughter. He's going to have his baby, and I get my first granddaughter. So I'm really excited about that. Just basically have just been, I've been on a line of everything, like work-wise and more like custodial and, you know, janitorial and all that good stuff, so.
Any particular groups you're involved with here locally in the San Luis Valley?
I am with the Connor Animal Shelter. I work part-time for them. I figure, I can't have a dog on my own, so I might as well just go and help the doggies that actually deserve a home and just be there and help them out.
What do you do in your off time? Any particular hobbies or special interests?
Because I work 7 days a week between here at the chamber and at the shelter, I just like to spend my time with my kids. And when I'm able to just travel a little bit, just go up north and go see my family that I have up there.
And as I mentioned, you are the new Assistant Chamber Manager, so congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you become involved with the Monte Vista Chamber in the first place?
Well, I had heard that there was a position opening up for an assistant manager as Jerry, the main manager at the time, was resigning.
Mm-hmm.
So I just inquired about the position and had asked what needed to be done and if maybe my qualifications would meet and just applied for it and I got offered the position.
Great. What basically is it that you do as the assistant chamber manager?
I help set up with the events that we have going on. Unfortunately, because of COVID, we really don't have a lot that are going on. But with crane sweep and everything coming down, just helping, you know, get the sponsors and the artists in, letting them know, hey, the cranes are going to be coming down. This is the dates that they're going to be coming down and just, you know, helping out with the auction.
They're keeping you busy, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know the goal of the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce?
To support and help our local businesses promote and to help them succeed, to stay successful and opened up.
What do those things mean to you as the assistant chamber manager?
It really means a lot. Our community is so small and we really don't have very much here, you know, so just to be able to keep our shopping local to where people aren't having to go out of town to go get what they need to get.
What about events tentatively planned? Any coming up later this year?
Well, we were hoping to have our holiday bazaar, the Moon Knight Madness, but with COVID happening, it's more than likely not going to be happening.
It's basically up in the air at this point. Jennifer, how has the whole COVID-19 situation affected operations here at the Chamber, and what have you all had to do to adapt?
We've had to adjust our hours, unfortunately, and we've had to go from being open from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. It's really like hurt us because we've had visitors that would try to come in, and we're not here to help and provide them and give them the knowledge that they're asking for.
This is a visitor center, too.
Yes, sir.
It actually doubles as two things. It's a lot of information. If you've never been to our chamber, by the way, stop by. Out in front is information for all over the San Luis Valley and beyond.
Definitely, yeah. And if we're not here to provide that for them, that's what kind of makes it hard.
What do you see as the benefits of a local business or organization joining our Chamber of Commerce here?
Providing good advertisement and putting them out there. We have visitors that come in and want to know of a good place to go eat or a place to go and, you know, go vacation or something that's here in our community. That's what I believe is what we can do for them, is just providing the good, correct information.
Let's take a look at the town of Buena Vista itself. What do you feel are the biggest challenges facing small businesses here, and how would you propose we overcome those?
Just with us being a small community, people really don't know of certain businesses that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting them known and getting them out there and advertising for them to help them stay open. A lot of businesses, unfortunately, they have to close because we are a small community.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to get them out there and to let them be known, hey, we have a clothing shop right down the street, or we have like this fine Mexican restaurant down the street. So just being able to help them succeed as well.
Do you see this turning around? It seems more and more businesses are actually looking at and coming to Buena Vista.
Yeah, definitely.
Where would you like to see the town, say, 3 to 5 years from now?
I would like to see it where we have more shops and more businesses, maybe some more restaurants to open, like more maybe franchises coming down to our place. So people aren't having to drive 2 hours north or even farther just to go do some shopping for their kids for school. That's really frustrating, and it's hard on our community, is because people are not shopping local.
Are there any particular businesses you'd like to see?
I would like to see a Target. I think a Target would be awesome, or even like a Ross.
Jennifer, anything else that you'd like to mention?
I just think Buena Vista is a great town. It's a great community. We all have to stand in this together, and we're a really small place, but we do have a lot to offer.
Well, appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Jennifer. Again, new assistant chamber manager here. Stop by and say hi. See all of the information that we have available. And of course, if you're interested, reach out, let her know that you'd like to know more about our Chamber of Commerce. There's an information packet that you can provide people to tell about all the different benefits and the reasons to consider joining our chamber.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Alamosa Home is the headquarters for all of your fine furnishing needs. They proudly bring trusted brands including Serta, American Leather, Tempur-Pedic, Lazy Boy, Flex Steel, and more to the San Luis Valley. Find your ideal mattress and foundation in their sleep sanctuary. Transform your little one's bedroom into something spectacular with furniture from their kids' cave. And discover the perfect piece that reflects you, all under one roof.
If you're searching for furnishings, mattresses, bedding, lighting, rugs, and a whole lot more, you need to stop by Alamosa Home. They have the largest selection of quality furniture and name brand mattresses, futons, pillows, and bedding in the San Luis Valley. To find out more, we came to Alamosa Home to talk with owner Mary Domitel, also known as Mattress Mary. And also joining us is Kelly Geddes.
Yes.
The store manager. You're also in sales and design.
Yes, I am.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us. And first, let's get your story. Mary, we'll start with you. Where are you originally from?
I originally came from California, born and raised in San Francisco in the San Francisco Bay Area. Spent most of my life there. Let's say the first 40 years, I've been all over Northern California. But about 20 years ago, I fell in love with a little town called Taos, New Mexico, visiting an old friend. And it only took me about 3 years to find a way to leave California and plant new roots in Taos, New Mexico.
How did you end up in the San Luis Valley then?
That's a good question. I founded my company, Sleep Sanctuary, Inc., in Taos, New Mexico, in 2004,
okay.
Which was essentially a sleep shop, and we sold futons and bedding also. But we can fast forward to 2005, where a colleague of mine let me know that there was an opportunity in Alamosa to have a furniture store as a couple of businesses had left. And there was a huge void. And at that moment, the nearest place where one could buy branded furnishings and mattresses was 2 hours away in Pueblo. So I came up and investigated, and lo and behold, I thought she was right, that there was a real opportunity to open a second store in Alamosa.
Well, tell me a little bit about your past, your history. What have you done prior to opening your first store down in Taos?
Well, I have been in sales of one kind or another for a little over 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I started after I left college by selling hi-fi and stereos back when it was real fun, back in the late 70s. I found my way to the mattress industry in the mid-90s, working for what was at the time the largest chain in the United States, and worked my way up into corporate management, running districts, which really gave me all the experience and knowledge that helped me when it was time to want to open my own business.
And what do you like to do in your off time? Any particular special hobbies or interests?
Oh, gosh. Sleep in? No. You know, I like to take it easy. I enjoy taking the time to do a little hiking in our backyard and taking drives, just country drives, going places I've never gone and making discoveries. I only a couple years ago discovered Caneos and the gorgeous fishing area and cabins and mountains. And I was just amazed that there was a place just so stunningly beautiful, so close to home.
That is great. Kelly, how about you? Let's get your story. Where are you originally from?
I grew up in northern Utah, Cache Valley, which is incredibly similar to the San Luis Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Farming, trains, you know, really driven by similar things. It was terrific. Went to school for theater degree, but knew I had to get out and see the world a little bit. So I ran away and joined the circus in Los Angeles. Not literally, but figuratively. I was there for 20 years where I predominantly worked in design, contract design, hotels, things like that.
Oh.
And then I came back to a quieter way of life and moved to Taos, New Mexico for 18 years. And Mary invited me here to help open this store. And I thought maybe I'd stay a year or two. And I think it's been 5.5 now. I'm still here.
What do you do in your off time? Do you have any hobbies or special interests?
You know, I go back to my old farming roots. I'm a gardener. I do love my yard. I also like driving, just getting out. This part of the world was meant for, you know, road trips. So
mm-hmm.
I got animals. I've got dogs and cats. And so I just take care of my little family.
Well, Mary, I want to tell you, Alamosa Home is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce's Business of the Month for October. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I don't know what we did to deserve the honor, but I'm certainly gratified, and thank you for that. We're happy to be here.
Let's discuss your store here, too, and please feel free to get into as much detail as you want. First, what is the mission of Alamosa Home?
Well, I'd say the mission of Alamosa Home is to provide quality home furnishings and mattresses, of course, to the entire San Luis Valley that we serve, and do so with competitive pricing and great quality with fabulous customer service.
When did you originally start your company and why? And again, you started in Taos and actually expanded up here.
We opened for business in Taos, New Mexico on July 19, 2004. We opened in Alamosa. I believe our grand opening was in May of 2015. So we're over the 5-year mark here and are very proud to have been members of this local community here.
Why did you start this business?
Well, it's funny. People ask, did you strategize and move to Taos, New Mexico because it was strategically the best place to have a business? And I said, no, the exact opposite is true. I was unhappy living in California.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to change my life and have a simpler way of life. And I discovered Taos, fell in love with it, and tried to figure out how I could possibly find a way to live in such a beautiful small community. And it just so happened that what I had done for a living, the mattress business, and I knew it very, very well, that perhaps this small area was ready for a professional sleep shop.
Uh-huh.
Turns out that it was.
What has been the biggest challenge you faced since opening?
You know, for me, owning and running a business, that probably the two biggest challenges have been, one, advertising and marketing. Where do you spend your advertising dollars so you reach your customer
mm-hmm.
and have them become aware of you and come in your store? It's always a challenge, you know, the old saying, you know, half your advertising works, you just don't know which half.
Right.
And the other thing would be having to figure out how to get through, you know, we've been in business 16 years now, and that's getting through some challenging economic times. The first one was the 2008 recession, and that forced us to take a hard look at our business and revamp it a bit and make adjustments. And we weathered that storm, I'm proud to say, and have always finished in the black. Obviously, this year it's the pandemic, and we have adjusted our business model, and so far, so good.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring up advertising. The whole state of advertising is changing. Radio, television, newspapers, everything has been in a very, very huge state of flux, actually, since the advent of the internet. But that just continues to change, too. And it can be a real challenge to figure out what's really working and what isn't.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I think about that often. I think about when it was a simpler time when I opened the business. It was radio and print, and that was it. I did radio, I did print. It was pretty much 50-50. I had a very small fledgling website, which was really more of a home page, just to let you know we existed.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 16 years, and print is no longer as important as it was. Radio is so fractured, and now we have social media. But even with social media, we can reach people. And then websites and e-commerce, all of these things, the pie has been split into so many different pieces. There is no perfect way to go about it, but you're absolutely right.
You obviously carry more than mattresses here. Would you mind breaking down your item lines that you do carry, and why did you choose these particular items?
Well, several years ago, I think it was 2012, when we expanded in Taos, New Mexico, and went into a much larger space. And one of the home furnishing stores went out of business there. And I saw it as an opening for us to begin to carry furniture in this larger space to complement our mattress business that was already very well established. And so when we found this gorgeous space 5 years ago in Alamosa, it needed to be a home furnishing store along with a mattress store. And as far as how we choose our brands, we go for the very best brands that exist for brand awareness, for quality, and for value. We're very happy to have legacy brands, one being Lazy Boy, which is the most recognizable furniture brand in the United States. I don't know of an American or a person who has not heard of the Lazy Boy brand, which is synonymous with comfort and value. Flexsteel is another high-quality brand of furniture. Stressless, Ekernes, a Norwegian contemporary chair brand. And then many brands that you may not have heard of. But we're familiar that they represent the best in quality and value. There's a lot of brands we don't carry. We don't pretend to carry the very least expensive product that's out there. That's not who we are. We're about value more than just price.
I'm just sitting here looking around the store going, wow, there's lighting, there's pictures, there's cabinetry. You have all kinds of things available here, even decor to go on your furniture and such.
Well, you know, it's true. There are a lot of furniture stores out there everywhere. And, you know, you go inside and you just see rows of chairs and sofas, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
We really are a home furnishing store, not just a furniture store. We know that if we can show the furnishings in vignettes like they actually might be in your living room, it makes it easier for the customer to visualize how they might make their own home beautiful. Because, and I'm one of them, I know what I like when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible at putting it together myself. I need the help of a decorator. So we also want to enrich the experience of our store managers who are designers also. They specialize in really making beautiful spaces for customers. And it adds to the enjoyment of their job when they can choose lighting and vases and things that adorn a home, the finishing touches. One of the wonderful things we like to suggest to customers is that are on a budget is maybe you buy a couple new pillows for your sofa. You can change the entire look of the room by changing the color and print of a couple of throw pillows on your sofa.
That's right.
We like to think of ourselves as everything home furnishings.
Honestly, I've never been here. This is my first time, and I'm amazed. This is wonderful. What a layout, and there's so many things to look at and choose from. What would you say, Mary, are your top three most popular items that you do offer?
Great question, and I don't even need to think about it to tell you. Number one, mattresses.
Okay.
I made my name with mattresses. It's my background, and we understand how important mattresses are. It's very important to help customers purchase a mattress because most people have no clue. There's no frame of reference other than it being a white fluffy rectangle. So the experience that we all have understanding mattresses, how they're made, how to help a customer choose a mattress wisely, because at the end of the day, they're not coming in to buy a mattress, they're coming in to get a good night's sleep. And it's really important that you're able to get that good night's sleep, have your expectations met, and not spend a penny more than you need to. So that's number one. Number two, Lazy Boy. Everyone knows Lazy Boy, and I would venture to say in the San Luis Valley, even over Taos, customers here know Lazy Boy. When we have a Lazy Boy sale, which is several times a year, we do a lot of business. So they know the brand, and they know what it means, and it's what they're looking for. And thirdly, Flex Steel. Flex Steel is a step above Lazy Boy in the quality department. They're known for the support structure of their sofas and chairs being made with true steel spans.
Oh.
And no one else in the industry does that. We might refer to them as the Cadillac of motion reclining furniture.
I know where I'm coming to get my next recliner. That is great. And you also offer free design services?
Absolutely. Free design services with your purchase. So if you come in and you don't know where to start, Kelly will come out to your house.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
It's normally $50 if you're local, or $50 an hour. And it's 100% refundable. So whatever you would buy that came to more than that, we take it right off the top.
And you also have free local delivery, setup, free hauling away as well?
Absolutely. It's important. People just don't know what to do with their old mattress. So we offer free removal of your old mattress anytime that we deliver your new mattress. And we do offer removal of old furnishings. We do have to charge for that because we have to bear the cost of finding the landfill for the old sofa if indeed it cannot be donated to a good cause. But those are all services that we happily provide. It's just part of our commitment to phenomenal customer service.
Mary, tell me about this mantra and what it means to you, a sense of gratitude in all things.
Well, we woke up today. We wake up, we're alive. And, you know, they say you're either a half glass full or a half glass empty kind of person. And I think I was just born an optimist and a glass half full person. The other thing I realize is I'm living in Taos in the San Luis Valley in these fabulously beautiful, quiet, mellow communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so lucky and fortunate to literally be living the life I have dreamt of for years. And I wake up every morning with a sense of gratitude that I have the life I have. It just makes me want to share my good fortune and my happiness.
How has the whole COVID-19 situation affected Alamosa Home here, and what have you all had to do to adapt?
Well, we've had to do a lot of things to adapt, like most every other business. We want to ensure everybody is safe, and so, of course, we follow the governor's and state guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call shears. They're thin sheets of fabric for mattresses and your pillows. So every customer that comes in to try a bed gets a fresh shear. So when they try out and lay on the pillow or the mattress, it's totally clean and safe and sanitary. We sanitize here. We wear our masks. And we require our customers to wear a mask if they're going to be in the store. That's one thing we've done. We've also, due to COVID-19, had to adjust our business hours. We used to be open 6 days a week. We are currently, for the foreseeable future, open Tuesdays through Saturdays. We're closed on Sunday and Monday. What this allows us to do is have our staffing at a level where we have our store covered properly so we can give great service, but limit the days and hours so we can be sustainable as a business to get through the best and the worst of times that might lie ahead.
Very good. Mary, why did Alamosa Home join the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Well, we knew from the very get-go that we were serving a lot more than just Alamosa, although our store is in Alamosa, but rather the entire San Luis Valley. I'm a huge proponent of belonging to my local Chamber of Commerce. I think it's the best bang for the buck that a business person can have. Some business people that think, why should I join the Chamber of Commerce and pay those dues? What are they doing for me, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it a little differently. I look at it as though, what can I do for my chamber? Because to me, the strength of a chamber, well, a chamber is only as strong as its members.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have lots of members, you, by your very nature, will tend to have a more robust chamber. And the other thing to me that's, for the few dollars a year that it costs, the best form of advertising that's out there, no matter what, and I think everybody can relate to this, is word of mouth. It's powerful. And when you are a member of a chamber, you're automatically going to get that favorable word of mouth by all the other fellow chamber members. So for my way of thinking, it's just smart business, and it's also a way of making a very material investment in each local community.
Very well said. I like that. If you had the power to dispel a common misconception or a preconceived notion about your stores, what would that be and why?
I don't even need to think about that one. If there is a preconceived notion about my stores, it is that we're too expensive. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Many people come in and say, your store is so beautiful. We take a lot of pride in the look of our store. Not the furnishings that we sell in our store, but just the store itself. And there's two reasons for that. One is I'm married to a very creative artist who is also a master woodworker. And every store we've been in, he has literally performed the build out. So he doesn't just do the basics. He makes it beautiful. And perceived value. I think it's important for the way, what I believe, to have a beautiful store. Because if I have a certain sofa in my store, and let's say store B also has that same sofa in it, if my store is more beautiful and that sofa is presented in a better way, even though it's the exact same sofa, I think it has a greater perceived value. It looks better. And the other thing is, I want the customers who come in our store, I want them to stay a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to enjoy the experience of being in our store. I don't want them to come into a dusty, musty place that hasn't been merchandised with dirt and dust and tags everywhere. We work very hard to vacuum every day, keep all our furnishings clean, have everything freshly painted, and everything adorned with just beautiful furnishings. So when you want to get out of the house, we want you to think of us and say, I'm going to go to Alamosa Home, see what's new, and hang out a while.
There you go.
Now, to answer that misconception that I believe that people think that we're an expensive furniture or mattress store, I told you all the reasons why we want to be viewed as very, very nice and beautiful. But truly, we aren't any more expensive. We may not carry the cheapest items that are out there, but that's by design, because we carry what we feel is a good value to the consumer. And a good value is something that's going to last a while and that's going to be made well, that we can have confidence in. But you, the customer, can also have confidence in the fact that all our pricing is guaranteed lowest pricing. If you find anything advertised for less, that's the equivalent of what you're shopping for at Alamosa Home, we will happily match that price. We will not be undersold, so you get the best of both worlds. Big city prices while you're supporting your local community.
In the wonderful San Luis Valley. Love it. I also understand that you all are really actively involved in our local communities here. Can you tell me more about that?
Oh, absolutely. I firmly believe that the communities that we operate in, that we are stakeholders in our community, the overall health of our community. And we're proud supporters of the Grizzly Club with Adams State. I think that's so important. In addition, we're real proud to have been a founding partner for the Alamosa Ice Rink.
Ah.
And I guess it hits me personally. I remember going through a rough patch when I was a kid. And there was after-school recreation that pretty much saved me. And I think with even more latchkey children, et cetera, there really needs to be like Boys and Girls Club, places for the kids to go. And in the winter, the very cold winters here, it just made sense that the ice rink was going to be a super important asset to the community. And I wanted us to be a part of that. In addition, I think Kelly had a lot of other ways that we try to support the community as well.
We work in very quiet ways, as well as our louder ones, even to the point where all of the artwork hanging here in the store is original art from our San Luis artists. They don't have as many outlets here to be able to show what they do. And so that's something that I think is very unique and kind of wonderful for them and being part of that art community. We work with the Volunteers of America, which is our homeless veterans group. So we have a sweet program where we get them mattresses and frames. And in keeping with that, when we get gently used furniture and we go into these homes that sometimes have nothing in them, we're able to take them a chair, take them a sofa they wouldn't otherwise have. We work with a tremendous number of our elderly community, and they don't always have, you know, the fattest pocketbooks. But we're here to see what we can do to get them comfortable, get it to them, get it inside. And so we do a lot of that kind of thing. And there's nobody that walks in here who's having a fundraiser that we're going to turn away. We don't do it in cash at that time, but we make sure they have a wonderful piece of merchandise that has great value that maybe wouldn't normally even be seen in a raffle. So whether it's great pillows and sheets, whatever it is, we make sure they walk out with something that can help them generate the funds that they need to continue their programs.
Kelly, what's your favorite part about working here?
You know, my very, very favorite thing, I'm a serial shopper, so I get to buy. And I love buying. I do. It's fun because it's a puzzle It's about coming up with that cross-section that really appeals to a very broad audience, because the people up the Canales versus South Fork versus here in Alamosa to Creed, everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's interesting. And I do love the people. I mean, that's my social life right now, especially with COVID, is I do enjoy the people that walk in the door here.
Mary was telling me, too, that you go out and do sales and design work. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we do. Right now, I will admit, with COVID, it's made it a little difficult because I'm solo. But under normal circumstances, we're happy to make house calls. We're happy to go out and work with people. Or people come in sometimes with their plans, their photos, whatever it is they're working with. Whether it's just me or our past staff that was very experienced in design, we are here to help people put things together, not just sell you something.
So, ladies, what question should I have asked you but didn't? And I think you brought a great one up, Mary. Why is it important to shop local?
Why is it important to shop local? I look at it this way. You live in the community because you love it for the most part, and you want to support it. And why wouldn't you lend your support to a local business that serves your needs, in our case, home furnishings and mattress needs? Now, I feel that's a responsibility to be a citizen in the community in which you live. I truly believe life is a circle, and it's all interconnected when things are at their best. You want potholes fixed. It takes a tax base. Your local businesses supply tax dollars to the community, and these are real numbers and real dollars. And I think people don't understand how powerful they are, how much power they hold in their hand, that they can make a positive difference in their community. Or at least know that that act of making a purchase in their town is having a positive effect. Now, I'm not saying if you can find the same thing somewhere else 2 hours away and it costs 50% more in someone's local store, it's the business's responsibility to earn that right to have you shop local. But if you're looking for item A that's available in Pueblo and also available in my store or on the internet, and they're all the same price, I'm sorry, but I have to say shame on you for not giving your local business at least the opportunity to find that out. That's what I have to say about shopping local.
I have one thing to add. Again, it really does boil down to customer service. I can't tell you in these 5+ years how many people I've met that have purchased something 2 hours away, and now they have a warranty issue, and they have nobody to help them. Because they're not going to come and help you. You're going to take it to them, whatever it may be. Here, we come to you. We diagnose. We figure out how to make it right, whatever that takes. And sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's a little more complicated. But you don't get that when you buy out of town. You lose our service and the skill that we have to support you as our customer. And we want to do that. So I think that's pretty important, because there's nothing more annoying than a problem that you can't fix.
And I think that's where we really show our stuff. It's in the face of adversity when there is a problem, because most customers and people know nobody's perfect and mistakes are made.
Sure.
How do we handle those mistakes? And many of the problems are outside our control. It has to do with a defect in the manufacturer. But we're the face. We have to take care of the customer. And I will tell you one thing. We commit to making sure the customer is happy. This isn't a one-time thing. We're not just a mattress store. We're home furnishings. We're building relationships, and we want you now, and we want you later. We want your friendship and your business. You may buy a mattress from us tomorrow, but in 2 years, you may need a sofa, and we want to be there for you. We want to reinforce to you that, why should I go anywhere else?
Absolutely.
Ladies, anything else that either of you would like to mention?
Well, hopefully after you've listened to this whole interview, you have a little greater desire to come visit us than you did before, and we would certainly love you to come visit our store. We're getting new merchandise in all the time. We'd love for you to come in and just say hi to Kelly and myself
yes.
if I'm here. And if you say that you heard this podcast, we have a free gift for you. Just come into our store, say hi, and just say we heard about you on the podcast.
I think that works. I love surprises.
Mary, Kelly, we want to thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to us about Alamosa Home. What a unique place. Certainly, if you have not been here, I urge you to come just browse around. You could spend an hour just looking at the pictures in here, if nothing else. And again, brand name mattresses, futons, pillows, bedding. There's just all kinds of neat home furnishings right here at Alamosa Home. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
to achieve educational excellence by preparing students, parents, staff, and community members for the future. That's the vision of the Monte Vista School District. From preschool through high school, as well as alternative high school and adult education, the Monte Vista School District is here to serve the educational needs of our local youth and beyond.
To inspire the pursuit of excellence, one student at a time. That's the mission of the Monte Vista School District. To find out more, we got together with Scott Wiedemann. Scott is the superintendent. Scott, welcome to SL Voices, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And first off, let's get your story. Where are you originally from, sir?
Well, if I could have told you back in 1968 I'd be in this position at this time, I would have said you were probably pretty crazy. I've spent all but about 6 months of my life in Monte Vista. I'm a graduate of Monte Vista. I went through the school system, attended Adams State College, where I received my BA in physical education. And I knew that when I graduated that I always wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to teach kids and coach kids and those things. So that was my way of getting into school. I'm not going to lie, I was one of those people that needed those extracurricular activities to keep me going and those things. So I think that's a huge importance in today's educational field. Went to Adams State College and started my first teaching and coaching in Sanford School District in the San Luis Valley here, and then went up to Battle Mountain High School in Eagle County School District up in Vail area, Eagle County. Went and took a year and coached some college football and at New Mexico Highlands University before finding my way back here probably in about 2000. I think it was 2002. Just worked my way up and was a teacher coach, taught some math, some science. Kind of funny, I team taught a class with our school board president and former teacher of mine when I was in school. I've taught a lot of things, met a lot of great people who've influenced my life, and a lot of them were teachers and coaches, and I can always go back to those people and really thank them for getting me where I am today. And then worked my way up the ranks, became a high school principal about 2011, and then superintendent last year. So I didn't know if I'd wanted to be here, but you know, my love of kids and having an impact on however small it might be is a great feeling.
That is an awesome story. Love it. Well, congratulations on making it all the way to superintendent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell me, Scott, what other groups are you involved with locally here in Monte Vista or the San Luis Valley?
I'm involved a lot with, not part of the Stampy community, but I help with the rodeo and those things. I try to attend as many events as I'd like to here in the Valley, or here in Monte Vista. It's a great community, and like I said, it's all about those extracurricular things outside of the workplace, outside of the school setting, that really make our community quite unique, even here in the San Luis Valley.
It is certainly a unique community. Love it here. What do you do in your off time? Do you have a favorite hobby or special interest?
Well, you know what? I move around. I do have a daughter that's in school right now, but I love golf. I love the outdoors. I love camping. You know, I've gone anywhere from rafting to boating and now golfing and that stuff. And I think the reason I play golf is it's still competitive and it's way easier on my body. There's quite a few things, and this is a great community to do that in.
Well, it's kind of the typical Colorado outdoor stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing, too. I've lived here for so long, and I'm really a summer person, and I love the heat. This is my favorite time of year, obviously, but the winters get kind of cold, and I'm not a very cold person. I'm not a very outdoorsy person in the wintertime. You know, I've been skiing and snow skiing a few times, but you'd think I'd go more, but never really, really got into that much.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Wolf Creek is not that far away.
No, it's not.
Great. Well, Scott, the Monte Vista School District is the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce's featured organization for October, so congratulations for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let's discuss the school district, too, and please feel free to get into as much detail as you'd like. First off, what is the mission and vision of the Monte Vista School District?
Well, you know, our vision is to achieve educational excellence by preparing students, parents, and staff, and community members for the future. And I think that's really important. In a very ever-changing world and those things like that, we want to do our best to give our students that ability to have every chance that every other school in the state does. And I think that's very important to us. So we try to achieve that. And along the way, we feel that, you know, our community can learn from it. Our parents, our staff can continue to learn. And I just think that's the way we get better. And our students deserve that from us. They deserve for us to make them better. And we have to make ourselves better in doing that. And then, you know what? We want excellence. We want to pursue the excellence one student at a time. And the reason why we say one student at a time, because every student is excellent in something. We need to find that and promote it and build upon that individually.
How long has the Monte Vista School District actually been in operation?
Well, you know what? I looked at that question and I was thinking about that. We got our secretaries out here this morning trying to figure out when and what and all those things. I do know this. I do know that back in the day, I'm going to say late 1800s maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on these dates or nothing, but there was used to be a lot of different schools within our community. I think it was called Henry back then. A lot of different schools, and then it became Rio Grande Consolidated School District, where they all combined and we got Rio Grande County High School, which now houses our alternative school and online academy. And then I'm not sure when it turned Monta Vista School District, but there is a lot of history. And even thinking back in that, you know, we were talking about this morning, that it'd probably be a pretty good idea to spend 9 weeks and add some Monta Vista history into our social studies curriculum and really tell these kids about where we've come and how far we've come and how it's changed over the years and those things. Kind of interesting, though, that so when I went to school here, I was actually one of the first ones that opened up the Marsh Building here. I got to open that building that was brand new. It used to be a K-4 building, and I went through there for just that side of town. And then I came over to the middle school here for 5th grade and then back to Marsh for 6th grade before coming over to this area over here for 7th grade year. And then I was one of the first ones out at the middle school, too, when it was built. So it's kind of crazy. And then obviously we got to build the new school and those things. So it's been quite the change in 50 years or so.
I bet you could get the Historical Society involved too.
Yeah, you know, we actually talked about that. We actually talked about the Historical Society and going back and really, really looking into that. And I know that we kind of looked at it when we built the new high school back in, you know, about 10 years ago. But we talked about it and we found a bunch of stuff. And we've got some different stuff up in the buildings and those things. But really to go in depth, and actually there's a lot of stuff over at our central auditorium over at Bill Metz. That's a historical building. But like I said, it would be an interesting, even for us adults, to learn about the history of Monta Vista and where it's come and how far it's come and those things. So,
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Love it. Just how many schools are there in the district, Scott?
Actually, right now we have 5 buildings. We have Marsh, who services our pre-K. We have Bill Metz Elementary, who's 1st through 5th grade. And then we have our middle school. It's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade out by Home Lake. It's been out there for a while. And then our high school, 9 through 12. And then we also have our Bering Searing Delta Center, which houses our alternative program, our adult ed. And then we have our online academy, who services anywhere from, I believe, 4th grade through senior on an online platform. And we get some of those kids from all over the state.
Can you tell me a little more about the Delta Center?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in around 1973, Mr. Searing started an alternative program for students that dropped out of school. And I think it was in a middle school building in a classroom and eventually turned into this. And something that we're very, very proud of. The traditional educational setting does not work for all people, and we're able to provide that to our kids that are in our community and maybe smaller class size, just a different structure to help those kids get to the level that they need to get off. And, you know, we've been pretty successful with that. We've got very, very successful people that have graduated from the Delta Center that have really come back and really helped us in our community and gave us ideas for how to improve our alternative program. So we're very, very proud of that. Rebecca Johnson is our director of that, and she's just leading a high quality of directors that and continuing on with that excellence at that school.
So it's alternative and adult education too.
Yes, we do that. We feel that sometimes your educational experience gets interrupted at times when you're expected to do more things than just attend school. In this days, it's just not here, but sometimes there's just more important things that we have to take care of, and we're asking kids to do it at a very young age. So that gives them the opportunity to fight through that and work through that and then come back and also get their education. And we find that to be very, very successful, and we want to continue with that excellence in that area.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Online Academy?
Well, the Online Academy was started, I believe, 1995, and it was the only one in the nation at that time. It's another form of learning that maybe some kids don't excel in the traditional classroom, but it also allows us to bring some ideas and teaching kids from all over the state. And we do have students from all over the state that participate in many of our academic extracurricular stuff, science fairs, stuff like that, and just making our district well-rounded. And we can learn from all those areas. So we're very, very proud of that. And we continue for that to grow. And between the Online Academy and the Delta Center, we house probably about a little over 200 kids.
Scott, how have things changed for the better over the years with the school district?
You know what? I really, really, really believe that we've always done pretty well. I remember my teachers, and you know, I can't think of anyone that ruined my life. I think we were all very fortunate that we have good people in our community. We have good teachers. We have good kids. But I think the one thing that has really, really helped our school district is the relationships we build with the kids and even parents and those stories that we can tell for kids that have graduated college and came back and really educated us on how to make it better. So I think we're using that information to make changes. We know that not everybody likes changes, not everybody likes change, but our teachers are growing. our kids are growing, and we are producing successful people.
What is your favorite part about what you do?
I don't know if I'm a conventional superintendent. I don't know if I was a conventional principal either. My goal is kids, and I love kids, and I love our kids. And so I show my face a lot. I want to know what they're doing. I like to see the things that they're doing. I like the successes. I like being at football games, band concerts, science fair, award shows, or even the critiques that we have, whether it's academically or athletically or extracurricular. I like being around kids, and I really enjoy the successes. And some of the places that these kids come from and where they end up is just amazing to me. And that's me. I'm not one of those that really like to sit behind the desk, so I like to be in the schools and visit with those kids and being around those kids.
So it would not be uncommon for you to be poking your head into classrooms.
Absolutely,
and going,
not. Hey. I'm in there all the time. I am. I'm in there all the time. And a lot of our decisions made are from the teachers that I speak to, because they're the ones in the grind and stuff like that. I see kids. That kid looks happy over there and all the time, but maybe he's not. So I think it's important. I think it's important to show your face and to help the kids when they need to, and just be there for them and just show them that you care. If, you know, most of the time, if you're there, they believe you care, and that's me.
Well, you do care.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That is great. Scott, how has this whole COVID-19 situation affected the school district, and what have you all had to do to adapt? And that's probably a big question.
It really is. And number one is the staff. We have overwhelmed them. We have asked them to do more for less. What we've had to do is, and I think the first thing that we did moving forward with our decisions that were made, is we tried to get the teachers involved, we tried to get the community involved, we tried to get admin involved, we tried to get the students involved, all those pieces to come up with the decision that best fits our community. And we understand that not everybody's going to like it. We try to do what's in the best interest of not only our students, but our teachers, our community, to keep everybody safe in these difficult times. Everything's based off as much information that we can get from everybody else. It's been really hard. It's changed the way we teach. Like I said, it's put more on us, but our teachers have dug in and they've done it. Are we the best at it yet? Nope, but we're going to continue to be innovative and move forward. And I think at the end of the day, there will be some things that have come out from this that are going to make us better teachers and better people and more caring. And maybe the one thing that we just don't take things for granted anymore. And I think that's a big lesson we can learn from this whole thing, that, you know, we've lost a lot. We've lost some time in our lives, all of us, and just those things, that how important family and school and just those relationships that we did have, we've lost some and not been able to communicate in that type of way.
Scott, especially during this time, what's the one thing you would like parents, teachers, or our community to keep in mind regarding the Monta Vista School District and what you're having to do to adapt?
Like I said, I don't know if we make every decision that's right and it doesn't fit everybody's decision. There's different beliefs in my household on this whole different thing. One of the main things that we're trying to do is keep kids in school. We want to have those relationships and we want to do those. So, like I said, we try to bring all the stakeholders to the table and make our decisions the best of our ability. We do know this. Everybody in our district cares about our community and our parents' kids. We're going to put them first and foremost up front. And we understand that there's some troubling times out there and we're there for them. And we're going to do the best that we can to educate them and get them in a place where they can end up making us better.
If you had the power to dispel a common misconception or preconceived notion about the Monta Vista School District, what would that be and why?
I just really think, like, I've been here for a long, 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 long time, and I don't know if you can separate the deal, because I think Monta Vista School District is all in one with the Monta Vista community. Monta Vista hasn't had the best reputation all the time, and I've lived through that, and I'm like, I don't understand where that's coming from a person that lives outside of our community. And just let people know that until you've lived here and been through it, Monta Vista is one of the best communities there is. And until you're inside of it, don't be too quick to judge. With that being said, I don't think we're too quick to judge either in our community. It's been like that for a long time, but, you know, we're building our way. We have very, very positive things coming out of our community and our school district, and we just need to get those good things out.
Well, that perception seems to be changing.
No, I agree. It is. It's just like the culture in our schools, and it starts by building relationships with the kids and those people and the parents. We're going to continue to do that. As a district, that's one of our strategic priorities, to build a positive culture. We want that to spread out into our community, and eventually, you know what? It's truly the best.
Scott, where would you like to see the Monta Vista School District, say, 3 to 5 years from now?
Just continue to do the things that we're doing, continue to work hard, continue to be the best, and set your goals high. Parents, students, teachers, give our students opportunities to excel. That's what I want. I want our kids to have that opportunity, just like any other district in the state of Colorado and in the nation, to have that same opportunity to excel as anybody else.
This year notwithstanding, it seems like you've got some very, very strong extracurricular activities, such as the band, the football team, and the list could go on and on.
Yeah, it goes on and on. When you have success like that, you have success with, number one, you have parent involvement, and number two, you have great leadership in those roles. Our band's won many, 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 many state championships. They're really dying right now because we've had to do some things to, you know, they canceled marching band season and with the safety precautions that were taken and stuff like that. You'll see them at football games now. We get to start football, so that's a good thing. We have a science fair program that's second to none. We've sent, I think it's up to 57. It might be more. It might be closer to 60 because our kids didn't get to go last year, and we sent three of them last year and more than anybody in the state of Colorado. So like I said, Mr. Wilkinson, our school board president, him and his brother started that program up, and Lori Harvey's doing such a great job. All our coaches, anywhere from FBLA, were successful. Really, it's a tribute to those teachers and coaches and sponsors that make it happen for our kids and give them the opportunity to excel, not just only in the classroom, but outside of the classroom.
It's interesting you mentioned sponsors for different events and things. If someone is interested in getting involved, who do they contact?
Stuff like that, they're usually posted in those things, but any coaching positions with our athletic director at the middle school or the high school, any type of club type stuff. And we've had people from the community come in and help with some assistance, some club type activities and those things. And we always welcome that because working with the community also helps us. I think one of the most important things too, we've just started up an FFA program here that's going to evolve into some community outreach and some internships and those things. We have a work study program where our students go out and work in different businesses and those things. We try to grow our own, and we want kids to get an education, find their interests that they want to do before they get to college, and really find out what they want to do before they do that. And then go to college, get out of here, and then bring us back and teach us something new. That's our vision, and that's our goal, and that's what, you know, it is. The other thing, we have a concurrent enrollment program, whether it be through Trinidad State, through welding, auto mechanics, anything like that, to kids taking calculus and those things at Adams State. So we're very, very proud of that, and we'll continue that program down the road and keep preparing our students.
What would you say your greatest need is right now?
Time. Time for our teachers to prepare and learn in an ever-changing world right now. It seems like we just react a lot of times. We react really well. It is. It's time. And really, the appreciativeness of our teachers, that it's second to none. They don't have time. And when it's all said and done at the end of the day, funding is huge. They're not getting what they deserve. It's unfortunate because they do play such a big impact on the world we live in today. That's our setback.
Scott, why did the Monta Vista School District join the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I'll tell you what. To be a part of the community, and I think that's what the Chamber does. It brings businesses. It brings people together to collaborate. And in certain instances, just like we're in right now, to be a part of something so special to me and to a lot of people in our community, I believe it's important to be a part of it because really it is Monta Vista and we're just a small part in a big fishbowl.
Is there a particular question I should have asked you but didn't?
I'm very proud of our district. I'm very proud of our community. I'm proud of all our people. And, you know, like I said, there's been people out there that have disagreed with me. I've disagreed with them, but that's how you learn and that's how I've learned. And so to all those people, I would just like to say thank you and thank you to the community. It's given me more than anybody had ever could imagine. So, you know, it's just a huge thank you and continue to support our kids and our community and let's move forward.
And of course, all the contact information will be on this podcast webpage. If you want to reach out to the school, they have multiple websites or on Facebook and Instagram. Lots of ways to reach out and find out more if you want to get involved. Certainly, I urge you to do so. Scott, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about everything going on here at the Monta Vista School District, and we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
If you're searching for furnishings, mattresses, bedding, lighting, rugs, and more, then you need to stop by Alamosa Home. They have the largest selection of quality furniture and name brand mattresses, futons, pillows, and bedding in the San Luis Valley. Owner Mary D'Amato, store manager Kelly Geddes, and their team are ready to help match your needs with quality furniture and exceptional customer service. Visit their website for more at mattressmary.com. That's mattressmary.com. You can call them today at 719-589-2030. That's 719-589-2030. Or better yet, visit their store at 630 Main Street in downtown Alamosa. Inspiring the pursuit of excellence one student at a time, that's the mission of the Monta Vista School District. Superintendent Scott Wiedemann and his dedicated staff work hard each day to achieve educational excellence by preparing students, parents, staff, and community members for the future. To find out more, visit their website, monty.k12.co.us, or call them at 719-852-5996. That's 719-852-5996. Located at 345 East Prospect Avenue, next to the high school. That's the Monta Vista School District. Have you considered becoming a member of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce? You should! To find out about all of the great benefits of being a Chamber of Commerce member and how to join, stop by the Chamber office located at 947 First Avenue. You can also call them at 719-852-2731 or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. And be sure to check back next month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast on slvoices.com or any major podcast platform.
The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor the monthly Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast, highlighting member businesses, events, and organizations. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce exists to promote businesses and events in the Monta Vista area. They serve its members and the community at large by planning and hosting many local events, social media promotions, advertising, and help to improve community relations and communications among the residents and guests of the Monta Vista area. Their mission is to advance a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for the community. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monta Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. That's montavistachamber.org. And check back at the beginning of every month for another Monta Vista Chamber Business Spotlight podcast.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley.